You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. More than 3 million Americans are living with glaucoma. And as baby boomers march into their senior years, that number is going to go up. Well, now researchers at the University of Michigan are working with a new minimally invasive and teeny tiny way to treat glaucoma. With us now is Dr. Manjul Shah. He's an assistant professor of ophthalmology at the U of M Kellogg Eye Center, where he specializes in glaucoma. Dr. Shah, welcome. It's good to have you here.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
So super briefly, give us an idea, just what is glaucoma and who is at risk?
So glaucoma is fundamentally a disease of the optic nerve, the nerve that basically is a cable that connects the eye to the brain and relays the visual signals to the brain so we can see. In glaucoma, typically pressure in the eye causes a structural injury to the optic nerve and can result in progressive visual decline over time.
And what about risk factors?
So family history is certainly a risk factor, as is having a high eye pressure, something that folks may not necessarily feel and would need to be identified by a physician.
And so that's why when we go for the eye exams that you all want us to go to, we get that glaucoma test.
You got it.
And that's checking your pressure within your eye.
Correct.
Aging. Certainly.
Absolutely. Age, as well as certain ethnic groups, may have a higher incidence of glaucoma.
Oh, who would that be? Yeah.
So certain forms of glaucoma can be more prevalent in Asian communities, East Asian, South Asian communities. The most common form of glaucoma in the world is open-angle glaucoma, which we see more of in African-American communities particularly.
So let's talk about the before and the after. Before this treatment we're going to talk about came out, what options did we have for treatment?
So the standard paradigm for glaucoma treatment. You start with medications. These are typically eye drops. We have several different classes of drops, and actually there are a few new drops that have just come out in the last 6 months. Beyond drops, we have some laser therapies that are office-based that can be performed. And then once those have kind of been exhausted, we are in the operating room with some rather invasive, often surgical procedures.
And invasive, does that also carry greater risk?
Absolutely. As I tell my patients, the more powerful a procedure, often, the more risk associated with it.
Are those eye drops, are you signing up for those for life? Once
often, yes. Especially with the current old school paradigm of glaucoma treatment, glaucoma can be a lifelong disease, and management of it can be a lifelong issue.
So let's talk about this new treatment.
Yes.
What you got?
So over the last 5 to 10 years, it's sort of been a renaissance in glaucoma treatment, especially in the surgical arm. We have these new minimally invasive or microinvasive glaucoma surgery devices called MIGS. There are various forms of them that have been released by various companies over the last few years. The world's smallest implant in the human body is a 1 millimeter titanium microstent called the iStent. This is a stent that can be implanted in the eye's natural drainage system at the time of cataract surgery to provide patients the opportunity to improve their vision and potentially reduce the eye pressure and potentially get off eye drops as well. So that's just one of the many new sort of advancements in the surgical space.
So tell me how this would work then. If I'm diagnosed with glaucoma and you say to me, look, I've got this tiny, tiny stent that we could offer you, what would that mean for me to have that?
You'd need to have the right kind of glaucoma, typically mild to moderate severity of disease. There are a couple different types of glaucoma. You need to have the right kind that would fit with this microstent.
And what is that?
That's open-angle glaucoma.
Uh-huh.
If you have a visually significant cataract that's also bugging you, when we're in the operating room taking care of your cataract, placing these stents adds minimal added risk and not too much in the way of time and risk for you, time for the surgeon, and post-operative course is very smooth, basically the same as a regular cataract surgery.
And when you talk about drainage, that it strikes me that that helps with the pressure?
Exactly. One of the big sources of issues with pressure elevation in the eye is resistance to outflow from the eye through the eye's natural drain. So what this eye stent does is kind of dilate the outflow system and kind of make it a little easier for that fluid that your eye naturally produces to get its way out.
You know, am I right that this stent is the smallest, you were saying, smallest device in all of medicine that can be implanted in
Correct.
The human body?
It's 1 millimeter in size. You need a microscope to see it.
That's amazing. Yeah. Where is the new tech for this coming from? I mean, was it more funding? Was it just science got to a point where the breakthroughs happened?
I think it's a combination of things. I think there's certainly a need there. With 3 million Americans with this disease, a lifelong disease, many patients don't even know they have glaucoma, and the ones that do are going to be on medication potentially for the rest of their lives. So there's definitely an energy to trying to come up with something that's better. Glaucoma medications, eye drops, we think they're relatively benign, but these medications can cause side effects, issues, irritation to the eye, visual trouble, and remembering to take multiple drops at multiple times a day can be a challenge for any of us.
So if I have this, if I qualify and I have this stent put in, does that free me from having to do the eye drops?
So what I tell patients is this. I say that me placing one of these stents in your eye improves my odds of getting you off drops. Cataract surgery on its own in some patients can actually lower the eye pressure as well. We don't know exactly why, but we're working on figuring that out. And I think that placing eye stents or other MIGS-type devices can further lower the eye pressure and further increase the odds of being medication independent.
Now, how widely available is this stent right now? How new is it?
So the eye stent was approved back in 2012 by the FDA, and it's certainly caught on and has continued to catch on across the country and across the world. And in fact, the company that makes that is soon to launch a couple new products, sort of next generation versions of this. So surgeons around the country are certainly catching on to the value that the stent provides. And as more people learn about it, see that the results are promising, I think it's going to be a domino effect where more and more surgeons and more patients are going to have access.
So this sounds like a two-pronged type of thing. Patients need to get in for exams.
Correct.
And then if they qualify and have the right kind of glaucoma at the right, obviously the earlier the better, right? At the right level of progression of this disease, that's the sweet spot for being able to make this stent really matter.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we're focusing on this stent that can catch this mild to moderate open-angle glaucoma.
Correct.
But there's more stent work going on and more stents being developed?
Absolutely. So another micro stent that we have at our disposal here is the Zen gel stent that is sort of more indicated for what we call refractory glaucoma. Typically, these are patients who are more advanced in their disease course, more medications, more severity of visual compromise. This is a stent that can be used with or without cataract surgery and packs a bigger punch. Sort of the level of pressure reduction and power that's on par with some of our older, bigger, and again, quote unquote, more invasive glaucoma surgeries that have come down over the last several decades.
So when you think of these stents that are being developed to treat glaucoma, where's the relative risk to the patient?
So with any surgical procedure, I never shy away from telling patients that there is certainly risk. But with these smaller stents, smaller incisions, more controlled release of pressure, the risks are definitely lower. And we're starting to see, these are still early in their evolution, we're starting to see more and more data that supports what we feel as physicians.
What do you see down the line as you look ahead for dealing with glaucoma? Could we ever see something that would prevent it from ever happening? Cure, if you will?
That's the holy grail, figuring out a way to stop the disease in its tracks and maybe even reverse the damage that's already occurred. One of the scary things about glaucoma is, as of now, right here in 2018, even with these fantastic technologies, we can't reverse damage once it's already occurred. And so a lot of energy is devoted actually to identifying disease early and intervening in a safe and minimally impactful way up front before more disease and more damage occurs.
Just so we're very, very clear, what's the recommended, in how often should people have their exams?
This is a hotly debated question in the community. I think if there are risk factors that are identified, family history, known high eye pressures, eye injuries, things of that nature, then certainly never too early to get into an eye doctor and take a look.
All right. Yeah. Dr. Manjul Shah, who's clinical assistant professor of glaucoma and cataracts. He's at the University of Michigan's Kellogg Eye Center. It was great talking with you. Thank you so much for sharing your work with us.
Thank you again. Thank you for having me.